As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, Natalie Sawyer here. As a special treat for listeners of The Game, here's a programme from our friends at TalkSport, marking the 20th anniversary of Manchester United's unique treble-winning season.
It's very difficult to start at the beginning of any story when you know how it ends.
Three is a magic number.
Is this their moment?
Yes, it is.
Beckham.
It's a magic number.
Into Sheringham.
Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three.
Manchester United have reached the promised land.
That's a magic number.
I remember Sir Alex saying to me, look, I've got a funny feeling it's going to be a big season.
Nothing can have a top 99.
Sensational goal from Ryan Giggs.
Skip's been sent off. Schmeichel has made a penalty save and I've scored a wonder goal. I don't know what I would have done.
And he just said, sit down. Stevie, sit down. This game ain't over yet.
I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
What is it?
Three.
Yeah. That's a magic number.
And the treble looms large.
The 26th of May, 1999, a date engraved on the hearts of Manchester United supporters. The day they completed an unprecedented treble of the Premier League, the FA Cup and the Champions League. A 63-game season which began with a long-since-forgotten two-legged qualifier against Polish champions LKS Łódź. The highs, the lows and the drama, the late goals, the never-say-die attitude and maybe a bit of luck. An aura of resilience masterminded by one of the greatest managers in the history of the game, who in the previous summer threatened to walk out. I'm Eamon Holmes and this is
Football Bloody Hell.
How United won the treble. To tell the story that ends in May 99, we must start in November 86. And following his success at Aberdeen, Alex Ferguson was appointed manager at Old Trafford.
I think he probably thought he knew the English game better than he did. It took a while for him to bed in, to learn about English players and what he needed to be successful in the English league.
Former club chairman from 1980 to 2002, Martin Edwards.
Being on the inside, I could see what was happening. You know what I mean? I could see, and I also knew what was happening at youth level. So it, for me, it wasn't a panic to suddenly get rid of the manager and bring in somebody new and start all over again. We'd started a process that was ultimately going to lead to success, but we were running out of time. Fortunately, that run in 1990, where we got to the cup final and won the cup final, and then that led to the Cup Winners' Cup the next year, and we won that, and then we won the League Cup. But it took him 4 years to win a trophy, 7 years to win the league, and that's what people forget a little bit, you know what I mean? We were patient in the early days because we could see what he was trying to achieve and it was only a matter of time.
Motivating rhythm of life. Motivating rhythm of life with a healing rhythmic synergy.
Ferguson had moulded a team to challenge for the league title, but it was the arrival of one particular player who had proved to be the missing piece of the jigsaw.
Well, it's just teed up for Cantona.
Eric Cantona arrived from reigning champions and bitter rivals Leeds United in a shock move. Journalist Paddy Barclay on the Frenchman's impact at Old Trafford.
Without question, the greatest single catalyst, well, certainly in my time following football closely and professionally since the mid-1970s, undoubtedly the most dramatic catalyst I mean, you can look elsewhere. You can look at Napoli and what Diego Maradona, how he turned this perennially underachieving club into two-time champions of Serie A at a time when winning Serie A was like winning the World Championship. But even more dramatic was what Eric Cantona did to Manchester United. But you don't have to make a value judgment. You don't have to give an opinion on that. Just look at the football yearbook and just look at the statistics. Before Cantona came from Leeds, Manchester United averaged one goal per match scored. After, two goals per match. He doubled Manchester United's scoring potential overnight.
A view shared by commentator John Motson.
Cantona seemed to change the whole mentality of the Manchester United team. I remember being in the hotel when he signed for United on a Saturday morning. They were playing away to Arsenal and the front two were Hughes and McClair. And not much was happening. United were eighth in the table, I remember. And then Cantona arrived, having had the title already behind him at Leeds United. He just seemed to inspire not just the team, but the crowd as well. I mean, they still chant about him at Old Trafford, don't they?
Former United player Danny Higginbotham.
As a United supporter growing up, he was just unbelievable. I remember the day that he signed when he came from Leeds United, and he was the final piece in the jigsaw to give, you know, United the league title that had eluded them for so long. And he was incredible. I think he did unbelievably well for the younger players as well that were coming through, you know, the class of 92.
A first league title in 26 years was followed by a League and Cup double the following season. But in the summer of 95, at the end of a trophyless campaign, Ferguson embarked on a clear out. Out went key players Hughes, Ince, Kanchelskis, and coming in, a group of highly rated young guns from the academy, known as Fergie's Fledglings.
Oh, it's come through to Scholes! It's in! 20-year-old Paul Scholes.
Beckham, goal! A free kick struck to perfection.
And here's another one. Beckham's cross. And Nicky Butt flying in with a header.
I remember the launch of the class of 92, that on that first day of the season when Manchester United lost to Aston Villa at Villa Park, and Alan Hansen on Match of the Day made that much quoted phrase.
You can't win anything with kids.
Well, of course, they did, and he's been proved wrong and had to admit to that many times.
Ryan Giggs had also come through the ranks at Old Trafford.
You know, and I think at the time you're not thinking of what Alan Hansen says, you're just thinking of you're down because you've lost the first game of the season. But it wasn't the kids who won it. It was Eric Cantona, Steve Bruce, Gary Pallister, these sort of players who contributed to winning that league. Yeah, we come through around that time, but it was the older players really who won that league, not the kids.
And Martin Edwards was well aware of this exciting crop of young talent.
Being brought up in the Busby era, I just felt that was a very good way of building a team for the future. And Alec was of the same mind as well. And eventually, I mean, don't forget, Alec arrived in 86. That youth team won the Youth Cup in 92. It was about 95-96 season when they all started to really come through in the first team. So it's like 10 years. So it was like a 10-year plan. So, yeah, I took great pride in that.
Danny Higginbotham was now part of the United Academy and saw firsthand the rise of these young stars.
When we were training at the School of Excellence, so from the age of, say, 10 to 16. So I would probably have been about 12, and, you know, the likes of Beckham and Scholes and Bort, Gary Neville, because Phil Neville was a little bit younger. They were first-year apprentices, I think, when I was maybe 12. And, you know, as an apprentice, then you would be training all day. You'd have your jobs to do before you went home. And we would train, I think, 7 to 8 at the cliff on the AstroTurf inside. They'd come and join in with the training. And they were already highly regarded. They were already seen as a special bunch. You know, Eric Harrison, you know, may rest in peace, God bless his soul. He was so fundamental amongst all of that. And Eric Harrison was a coach for me. Nobby Styles was a coach for me. Tony Whelan was a coach for me. Brian Kidd was a coach for me. So all people that were probably ingrained in the football club. People forget about one of the first things that Sir Alex Ferguson did when he came into the football club was to work really hard on making sure that United were producing younger players and not allowing other clubs around to get the better players. And it worked really well for me. Then I had to wait, had to be patient, but then the conveyor belt worked, and when it worked, wow.
With Fergie's fledglings breaking through, the return of Cantona from an eight-month ban after his infamous kung fu kick, and the leadership of Peter Schmeichel and Roy Keane, a new-look squad was coming together. Andy Cole had joined the club from Newcastle in January 95 and recalls his first impressions of his new boss.
The way the boys used to speak about him, and obviously try your best not to get on his bad side and all this kind of stuff, and when he loses it, you know, he loses it, and don't be surprised, and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, nah, it can't be that, it can't be bad. When you don't play particularly well and you see him lose it, I'm saying to myself, oh my God, is this allowed?
Ryan Giggs.
He had that skill of, have you got to put your arm around someone, or have you got to lose your temper to get the best out of them? I remember him having a go at me at half-time, and I had the sort of attitude, right, OK, I'll show him, and played well the second half. So then he quickly knew how I would respond to him losing his temper.
He wasn't a teacup kind of fella, because I think they banned teacups from coming in the dressing rooms then. It was plastic cups. I remember coming in the dressing room sometimes, yeah, and with the manager. The lads always used to say, whatever you do, like a couple of minutes before half-time or full-time, yeah, he'll remember. So he used to come in, if he made a mistake or whatever, he'd come in and absolutely rip into that individual, whatever it was, rip into him, because that's what he can remember. Then after he's refocused, someone else would get it. And if he didn't give it here, one of the lads are giving it here.
Ferguson's drive off the field was taken onto the pitch by his players. Journalist Paddy Barclay.
There was character and determination shot through the whole team. Schmeichel in goal, who would order, you know, experienced defenders around. I mean, they all speak of it now. They laugh when they talk about it now, but it was murder at the time. But he was so ferocious about winning, about his penalty area being his own domain, that he would order anybody around and knock them out of the way almost to get to the ball.
Danny Higginbotham.
I remember one of the first times I trained with the first team. It was actually over Christmas when we were training at the Cliff, and it was probably only a day or so before a first team game. And I was playing left back. Dennis Irwin was playing right back for the other team. And he's running at me, and he's played a 1-2. And it was one of those situations where the pitch is quite icy. And I'm thinking to myself, I could dive in here. You win the ball, you're going to send a player going flying in Dennis Irwin, who is a very important player for United, a day before a game. I was like, it's not something you want to be doing as a 17-year-old kid, 18-year-old kid. And so I didn't. Schmeichel went ballistic at me. Oh, yeah. He went ballistic at me. It was a really quick learning curve for me that you train how you play.
Former chairman Martin Edwards.
The feeling was that he was the best goalkeeper in Europe. So to get the best goalkeeper in Europe, even in those days, for £500,000, was huge. And when you think that we got Eric for £1 million and Peter for £500,000, for £1.5 million, we got players who consistently won the league. When you think of those purchases and what we paid for them, the value we got out of them, they have to be the two best signings in my time at United.
Along with Schmeichel, the angry, beating heart of the team was Roy Keane.
Roy Keane has lit the fuse here, and a real explosion of emotion.
Roy Keane was the guy who kept the others at it. If his own standards weren't pursued or achieved by players around him, well, you knew about it. He was a voice on the pitch.
When people talk about Roy Keane, I think the first thing that comes into a lot of people's head is that, you know, the way he gets about midfield, his tough tackling, his leadership, which is all very true. World-class midfielder. But I think sometimes it's not appreciated how good he was on the ball. His eye for a pass was brilliant. He demanded so much from his teammates, and he would let his teammates know in no uncertain terms what he expected.
You had leaders just all through the team. Ferguson was an old-school manager who believed in old-school virtues of taking responsibility on the park.
Coming next, the retirement that rocked football. You're listening to...
Football, bloody hell.
High United won the treble with me, Eamon Holmes. Despite their domestic success, Ferguson's side were making little impact in Europe. ITV commentator Clive Tilsley.
He had weathered the first couple of years with all kinds of restrictions on how many overseas players and so on that he could field. They'd had a couple of real sights of glory the two previous years and not made the most of them. And of course, if you spoke to Sir Alec today, he'd tell you that his only real regret as Manchester United manager was that they didn't win maybe twice as many European Cups as they did. They were still finding their way. And indeed, English football was still finding its way. I mean, one of the reasons why we look back on the 1999 final and place it with such standing and status is that it had been so long since an English team had had their hands on the European Cup.
United's forays into the Champions League under Ferguson had been far from glorious. In 93-94, they lost on away goals to Galatasaray. A year later, they suffered embarrassing defeats to Gothenburg and Barcelona as they crashed out in the group stage. Blackburn were England's representatives the following season, but United were back a year later and reached the semi-finals. Progress. The league title was retained, making it four under Ferguson, but the season ended with the shock retirement of talisman Eric Cantona.
To lose him was a massive, massive blow.
Andy Cole.
He was like a novice. You know, we want to win the European Cup. And that year we went out to Dortmund in the semis. That deflated us all because we should have won it.
Tretchoff. It's in there. It's deflected on the way, but Tretchoff has made it 1-0 for Dortmund.
But I think that one really took the wind out of his sails, and he made his mind up most probably that possibly he couldn't take the team and he fell forward and he didn't believe he could possibly win the European Cup. And when we went back for pre-season, the lads were saying, like, I remember Giggs is saying to me, the only person I think you can bring in now, he's got to be Letizia. And we were saying as well, we couldn't see Letizia leaving Southampton. So as he didn't leave Southampton, we ended up buying Teddy.
Yes, I was replacing Eric Cantona as such in the team.
Teddy Sheringham, signed for £3.5 million from Spurs in July 97, aged 31, 2 months older than the man he replaced.
That was never a problem for me as a player. I joined Tottenham the season that Gary Lineker had left. I came into the England setup just as Peter Beardsley was coming out of the England team. So I never, ever put extra pressure on myself to say, oh, I've got to perform like Lineker or Beardsley or Cantona. You know, I just took it that this, you know, life goes on. This manager wants me to perform for him in his football team, and I feel like I'm very able and capable to come into this team and look a good player and enhance the team.
Arsene Wenger's arrival at Arsenal in September 96 was a game changer. His approach to fitness, tactics and football and culture at the club turned them into league and FA Cup winners in the 1997-98 season. Bookmakers had paid out on a Ferguson side that were 12 points clear in March, only for them to blow the lead and miss out by a point to Wenger's double winners.
And here's Steve Bould. And it's Adams, put through by Bould! Would you believe it? That sums it all up. Arsenal, the cream of the crop.
That led to a summer of soul-searching behind the scenes at Old Trafford. Martin Edwards.
At the time, we felt that you know, in 98, we'd just slipped a little bit, you know, having done the double the year before, or 2 years before, and then we just felt that perhaps that year we'd just taken our foot off the pedal a little bit. So, you know, we did call Alec back from holiday, but also, having done that, we also supported him.
That conversation infuriated Ferguson, leading to an offer of resignation, which was later withdrawn. Edwards recalls Ferguson's reaction to that meeting.
It didn't go down that well at the time, but having said that, you know, I don't think Alec was one for bearing grudges or whatever. And in fact, that was obviously shown by the way that he responded. You know, we responded as well because we supported him with those players.
Reinforcements were needed, and in the summer of 1998, there were some fresh new faces arriving at Old Trafford.
Yorkie, Yap, and Jesper. And bringing in those three players were massive because, you know, possibly Jesper, if Giggsy wasn't playing, Jesper was slotting. He's an international. He played for Milan and teams like that. So we knew what he was getting. Yap was a beast. One of the best centre-halves I've ever played with. And Dwight was just, in the end, he was a dream to play with.
Yap Stam, brought in for a then record fee for a defender, remembers vividly the moment he arrived into an intimidating dressing room.
For myself, you know, I felt how big I was in Holland, small I felt when I came into United, you know, like you're saying. When you join up with the likes of Schmeichel and Keane and Scholes and Giggs, you know, although they weren't that old as, you know, in age, but very experienced players, you know, they, everybody in England knew them as top class, world class players as well. And, you know, as a Dutch boy from Holland, you join a big team. Most of the players didn't even know me and knew me when I joined United, of course, you know. So you have to start from the beginning again.
Andy Cole had a new strike partner, and it was Dwight York from Aston Villa.
What he did to the dressing room, just his character, very infectious. You know, I remember some day the gaffer would go absolutely off on one and the White would be still laughing. Is the gaffer thinking that York is taking a mick or whatever? Because he never, ever didn't have that smile on his face. You know, so him coming into the dressing room just like that was massive.
After a trophyless first season, Teddy Sheringham knew his place was under threat.
I accepted the situation. It was like one of those things that you go there to be the best, and if you don't win things, then you accept the consequences. But I wasn't going to lay down without a fight, but it was obvious that Yorkie and Coley were going to be the main two. And I remember Sir Alex saying to me, look, I know you've had a couple of injuries. Don't rush back this time. Just make sure that you are ready for the end of the season, because I've got a funny feeling it's going to be a big season.
Coming up next, we relive the treble season. This is
Football by the Hill.
High United won the treble with me, Eamon Holmes.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no,
yes.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Football, bloody hell. How United won the treble.
Oh, it's a screaming goal!
On Talk Sport.
Wait a minute, he's taking another card out for Beckham. It's a red card for David Beckham. Oh, no.
2 days before, I was a hero, and the next day they wanted me hung up, you know. Obviously, you know, when you get sent off in any game, it's going to be a low.
In the summer of 98... Ferguson's squad reported back to pre-season training following an eventful World Cup in France. Matters off the field had galvanised the squad, along with the disappointment of the previous season. Strikers Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham.
The get-go was to get the Premier League back to Manchester, without a shadow. So the aim was to get it back. You know, losing games early in the season, it's not the end of the world, because you can pick that up and make sure you get points back at some stage during the season to overcome that.
There's always a determination to win the league, always, because like I said, the manager always stipulated that first day of pre-season to be the best team after 38 games. That's what it's about. Whoever's not up for the battle, let me know now.
But the season started with 2-3-0 defeats to Arsenal, one in the Charity Shield and one in the league in September, which Alex Ferguson described as depressing. New signing Yap Stam discusses the slow start to the campaign for the team and himself.
It was a big shock for myself as well, you know, because at first is that they paid a lot of money for you, and you know, you're the world's most expensive defender, so that puts a lot of pressure on your shoulders. And for myself as well, in the beginning, you read the papers, you listen to the radio, sometimes you watch the television, and you see your face coming passing by, and with all, you know, with all nice quotes and everything. So you think, well, what the hell am I doing? When, you know, what have I started? And maybe it was better for myself to stay in Holland.
But a 2-0 victory over Liverpool kick-started their season. By Christmas, they were up to third, and a new strike partnership was flourishing at Old Trafford.
York. That's a brilliant pass for Andy Cole. Well, talk about being on the same wavelength. These two are in perfect harmony.
It's a dream partnership. It's a partnership that at the start of that season wasn't meant to be. York had played with Teddy, Ollie, Giggsy, Scholesy, and the manager gave me a game against Southampton. And from that day, he just stumbled on something. It clicked. And you talk about the goals there against Leicester and West Ham. I think we beat Leicester 6-2 and West Ham 4-1. And the goals were flowing because the football was just natural between me and Dwight.
In the early rounds of the FA Cup, they drew Liverpool, their greatest rivals. Chairman Martin Edwards recalls the tie.
It was really after Christmas that we really started to expand. I mean, we had a little bit of luck in the first round against Liverpool in the Cup. We were 1-0 down and we scored two very late goals to win that game.
Beckham takes it. Oh, it's York! Cole and York combined!
And after the equaliser, a real sign of things to come.
Stoppage time. I didn't see Dermot Gallagher, the fourth official, put it up, so I can't enlighten the folks at home. Scholes! Solskjaer! An incredible comeback by Manchester United.
And of course, we then started to win league games.
Andy Cole recalls yet another late winner.
Cheltenham was a hell of a game that day at the Valley. They were not going to... Hey, they left everything on that football pitch. Everything. I remember Yorkie, and I mean, Yorkie's unbelievable in the air for his height. I think it was Richard Rufus, centre-half, and he's got to be 6-foot-odd. I remember Yorkie getting up, glancing at a bang.
And danger here, it's a goal! Unbelievable finish! Dwight York scores what is surely the winning goal for Manchester United.
There you go, 1-0. That was Manchester United that season.
And how important will that goal prove to be at the end of this Premiership season?
United were top, and that coincided with Steve McLaren's arrival as Ferguson's assistant.
You know, I do know that there were a few people in the frame, and I think it was David Moyes and myself who were top of the charts, and I don't know why. You'll have to ask him why he picked me. But I remember the first day I joined, or first day of training especially, and going in the office and kind of saying, look, you know, what do you want me to do? We've just on Saturday, we've just won 8-1. You know, what do you want these guys to do? He kind of just said, well, look, son, he said, what did you used to do at Derby? And before I'd even got an answer out, he said, whatever you did at Derby, that's why you're here.
That 8-1 victory over Nottingham Forest would be remembered for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's stunning cameo, scoring 4 goals off the bench.
He scored 4. It's an extraordinary feat for Solskjaer.
But United's hierarchy had seen Solskjaer's signing as a gamble. Chairman Martin Edwards.
Les Kershaw, the chief scout, had sort of was talking to me about Solskjaer, and he was playing for Mulder at the time, and he was obviously very successful scoring goals for fun there. But I think Alec was just a little bit concerned whether he could bring those qualities to the Premier League. When we knew the fee was 1.4 million, I just said to Alec, at that level, even if he only plays a few games for the reserves, the money's not at risk. We'll get our money back and all the rest of it. So under those circumstances, he was happy to go ahead with the transfer.
With Ferguson's side competing on 3 fronts, their 4-pronged attack was coming into its own.
He ended up with 4 strikers, and it probably, the amount of games that we had at the end of that season, it probably held the club in good stead that he could take Yorkie off, put me on, take Coley out and put Ollie on.
Under Ferguson, standards were always high at Old Trafford, and McLaren was getting used to his new surroundings.
The first 5 months, from January up to the end of May, have been the toughest 5 months of my life. In whatever I've done, nothing prepared me for them first 5 months. The environment was tough, the players were tough. If a cone was out of place, if a decision was wrong, they let you know. They wanted the best. I think it was against Inter Milan at Old Trafford, and I think we'd won 1-0. It wasn't a good performance. And I think I came in and was a bit over the top in, well done boys, great, great win. And Roy Keane just turned around and said, Stevie, don't give us that bull. He said, we were crap tonight. He said, and when we're crap, you tell us we're crap.
The season was reaching its climax. United had progressed to the semi-finals of both the FA Cup and the Champions League. And going into April, they were 4 points clear of their closest challengers, Arsenal, in the league. It was the rivalry that defined the era, Ferguson versus Wenger, and the two heavyweights came head-to-head in the last four of the FA Cup at Villa Park. A 0-0 draw led to a replay 3 days later, which would go on to become an all-time classic.
Here we go, the favourites for the FA Cup against the holders, the Premiership leaders against the defending champions.
I always say now, whatever you're going to win, you always need that little bit of luck. I even turn around and say, I didn't even play the second leg. I picked up a knock and the gaffer put me in his stand and said, no, because we've got the semis coming up against Juventus. The best game I've ever watched.
We had that tremendous semi-final against Arsenal. Of course, we had Keane sent off.
Manchester United suddenly find their world collapsing here. They've lost their lead, they survived going behind, but now will they survive the dismissal of their captain?
We knew Roy, the way he played on the edge every single game. There's a possibility of losing him.
Teddy Sheringham.
We're backs against the wall now. Cool, we've got an uphill battle now. Because Arsenal were a formidable team at the time, and you just think, you know, we're going to do really well to get through this tie now.
Steve McLaren.
Last minute, 1-1, penalty. Phil Neville gives a penalty away. Gaffer's going crazy.
They have a penalty. Bergkamp steps up, and we're in the last minute of the game, and you think it's all over.
Two international greats here, and a decisive moment in an FA Cup semi-final replay.
Peter Schmeichel makes a fantastic save, and we're still alive.
And when Peter Schmeichel makes a penalty save, you got a chance, because you don't see penalties.
Had that gone in, well, Arsenal would have been in the cup final and Manchester United would never have done the treble.
It was a never-say-die attitude. And, you know, if while you're still in the game, you've got a chance. And the amount of outstanding players that you still had on that football pitch, you know that someone can come up with something special.
A rather weary one from Vieira. Diggs.
He probably runs quicker with the ball at his feet than he did without the ball. And he sort of went past one, came to the next opponent, glided past the next opponent, got himself to the edge of the box.
Arsenal goalkeeper David Seaman.
I remember him coming through, and I just remember thinking, somebody take him out, somebody take him out. And nobody ever got anywhere near him.
Comes back at him. It's a wonderful run from Giggs. Sensational goal from Ryan Giggs.
He hit it that hard. I'm sure it was past me before I'd even moved my hands to go up.
Cut Arsenal to ribbons.
Wes Brown.
Giggs is my favourite player. I mean, I used to watch him when I was at school. I mean, that's how long he's been playing, and he played after me. He is that sort of player that justifies that sort of goal.
And the team with 10 men go back in front, 2-1.
Yap Stam.
Giggs scored that winning goal, a fantastic goal, great dribble, and you know, that's one of his qualities as well, you know, and the only thing is everybody was a bit shocked about his chest hair, probably.
Only he can explain that, can't he? It was, I think, a shock to many.
You're 10 men, you know, we're having a good go at it. To score a goal like that, Skip's been sent off, Schmeichel has made a penalty save, and I've scored a wonder goal. I don't know what I would have done.
Manchester United are in the FA Cup final. They have put out the holders in extraordinary circumstances.
Harry Barkley.
Best answer I can give to the question of was there a turning point in that season is to give you the answer that Peter Schmeichel gave me at the end of it, when he said that goal gave Manchester United a belief in their own invincibility that Schmeichel felt, in fact, Schmeichel was certain, carried them through to the rest of the season and the historic treble.
On to Turin, with United and Juventus tied at one apiece. Clive Tilsley was commentating on the semi-final for ITV.
The most important goal of the semi-final was the goal that Ryan Giggs scored at Old Trafford. Juventus were the better side in the first leg, led 1-0 right up until the closing minutes, and it was 1-0 going on 2 or 3, if the truth's told. Ryan scored in the closing stages, and even though on the face of it 1-1 was a disappointing result, it was something for Manchester United to build on. But in the opening minutes of the game, the opening 10 minutes of the game, Filippo Inzaghi, once brilliantly, once luckily, struck. And, you know, Manchester United's task had changed completely.
Manchester United need a minor miracle now. They're two down in no time here.
But, of course, by then, United had developed this belief, this sense of momentum. And with Roy Keane giving a performance that I think you would compare with Steven Gerrard's in the second half in Istanbul for Liverpool in 2005 is always cited as, you know, the great inspirational Captain Marvel performance. But I think it was at least equaled by Roy Keane in Turin. He was absolutely spittingly defiant.
Beckham with a corner. It's towards Keane!
How he marshalled the troops, even though he'd been booked and he knew he was out of the final, he still played like a man inspired. And I'm looking back on that, that was probably one of the great individual Manchester United performances of that decade.
Teddy Sheringham on the influence that Roy Keane had on the pitch.
I often get asked about who the best players that I played with, and he's one of two that I always mention. He was the driving force of Manchester United team. At the time, with all the fantastic players that we had at Manchester United at the time, if he wasn't playing, he made a difference. If any of the others weren't playing, we fitted around the situation and made it work. But Roy made a difference. Even if he wasn't having a good game, he would drive other people on and make sure that everybody was doing their jobs and knew when to slow the game down, knew when to speed the game up, knew when to have a nasty tackle, knew when to calm it down and just put the frighteners on their main man as such and just show who's boss. That's what football's all about in the Premier League and in European football as well. You have to stamp your authority sometimes, and he was our main man and leader.
If Keane was one of two, who was the other?
Gazza.
Keane had got them back in the game, and there was no stopping United.
They were playing against the team that might actually have been the favourites to win the competition at that stage, a star-studded but also very streetwise Juventus team. The nature of the comeback that night, both the spirit and character, which was epitomised by Roy Keane playing on after the yellow card as if it hadn't happened, but also the sheer skill and quality, the combinations particularly between Cole and York that night, actually confirmed Manchester United, maybe belatedly, as a real Champions League contender.
York, he skipped through, it's Dwight York, he's brought down by Peruzzi, Cole will finish it off, full speed ahead, Barcelona!
United had reached the finals of the FA Cup and the Champions League, but Arsenal were pushing them all the way for the title. Coming next, history.
Dwight York scores what is surely the winning goal for Manchester United. Neville with the cross. Andy Cole waiting underneath it. It's Paul Scholes. He's done it.
Back at him. It's a wonderful run from Giggs. Sensational goal from Ryan Giggs.
Right here.
It's the 16th of May, the final day of the league season. match 61 in United's epic campaign. They faced 11th place Spurs at Old Trafford, knowing they needed to match Arsenal's result against Aston Villa to reclaim the title, their first step on the way to an historic treble. Teddy Sheringham had been a bit part player for much of the campaign, but Ferguson named him in the starting lineup against his former club.
To get the nod to play in that last game, I started the game, which was a big shock to me. We got off to a bad start. Les Ferdinand scored a goal against us, and I'm not sure the Tottenham fans wanted to celebrate too much, because that if Tottenham had beaten us and Arsenal won, Arsenal would have won the league. So I think they were a little bit in shock, the same as the Man United supporters. But Beck Scott's got back into the game at 1-1 just before half time.
Giggs, Scholes, Beckham.
Came in at half time and the manager said he's going to change things around. He's going to pull me off and put Coley on.
The manager makes a substitution at half time, obviously takes Teddy off and brings me on. I mean, first touch, we go 2-1 up.
Oh, it's Andy Cole. Can he get it over Walker? Cole! Within 3 minutes of being brought on by Alex Ferguson. It's the goal that could be in the championship for Manchester United.
And then, as if Spurs said, oh, let's start having a go again now. And it was tense. It was a tough game in the end, because I think it was one of those ones where you're a bit nervous and you want the game to finish because we know Arsenal winning. Finally, we get there, but it wasn't an easy game, put it that way.
It's gone right to the final whistle on the final day of the league season, and Manchester United are the pick of the Premiership once again.
We ended up winning the game 2-1 and ended up winning the Premier League, which was a fantastic feeling for me, because I hadn't played a major role in it, but was part of a Manchester United team that had won the Premier League back.
6 days later, and Wembley for the FA Cup final against Ruud Gullit's Newcastle. Steve McLaren recalls the excitement ahead of the game.
For me, the FA Cup final was huge, massive. You dream as a kid, as a player, to be in the Cup final. You know, I couldn't do it as a player. And there was the coach, assistant manager of Manchester United.
But it didn't start as planned for United. Teddy Sheringham.
During the week, found out that I wasn't playing in the FA Cup final. Disappointed. But after 6 minutes, Roy Keane gets injured, goes down, says he's coming off. Three players go and warm up from the bench. I sit there and I think to myself, blazing hot sunshine, sitting there behind Sir Alex Ferguson, and thought, well, it's not me going on, it's Roy Keane, he's midfield. And he turned around to me and said, Ted, you're going on, get ready. And I sort of looked at him perplexed, as if to say, what? For Roy, and I thought, what am I even thinking about? Questioning the managers. Couldn't wait to put my boots on and my pads and get on there. And within 2 minutes, I'd scored the opening goal in the FA Cup final.
Cole shook off two opponents well. Sheringham, who's just come on. Little ball inside to Scholes. Sheringham goes again and scores! Oh, would you believe it? He's only been on the pitch a minute. And he's put Manchester United in the lead. It's Teddy Sheringham.
We ended up winning the game 2-0, got named man of the match, and thought, do you know what? I might just put myself in the frame to, you know, we've just won the FA Cup. I've had a good day. I must have a chance of playing in the European Cup final on Wednesday night.
Two down, one to go.
I think that what I've achieved stands for itself, and I'm lucky to be able to do that. What I've won as a manager, I'm blessed. So why should I look upon the failure to win a European Cup as a tragedy for me and a failure of me as a manager? Terrible disappointment, I'd be gutted, because I think we have a great, great chance tomorrow.
Steve McLaren recalls Ferguson's team talk in the Nou Camp dressing room ahead of the final against Bayern Munich.
That was his strength. Every team talk I heard him do was not so much about tactics, not so much about the opponent. It was all emotional. It was all, this is the reason why we're here. This is the reason why we have to win this game. This is the reason why we're in football. This is the reason why you could be writing your name in history. This is a reason why most people, you know, dream of huge things, of flying to the moon. You have the chance to fly to the moon and land on the moon tonight.
ITV commentator Clive Tyldesley on United's opponents.
I don't know what the bookmakers were saying, but I suspect that Bayern Munich's superior European experience, it was it was a team with Matthäus and Effenberg, Kahn. I mean, these were guys who seemed to have been around the European scene for 100 years. Certainly, they were the very last team in the world that you wanted to be 1-0 down to from 5 minutes into the game.
It's Basler. Oh, deflected and in! First blood to Bayern Munich!
United were unbalanced on the night. Beckham played in the centre, Giggs played on the right because of Keane and Scholes' absence. Didn't quite fire at any stage.
Teddy Sheringham was watching from the bench.
We was losing at 1-0 at half-time, and I can remember a bit of the speech that Sir Alex came in and made.
Have a look at that trophy. No regrets when you come back. Don't be walking by that trophy and don't be thinking that there's Bayern Munich holding the trophy.
As he finished his speech, I went into the toilet and he walked in after me and he said, Ted, just let you know, if it stays like this for the next 15 minutes, get yourself ready, you'll be going on. So for the next 15 minutes, I'm thinking to myself, do I want my team to score here? Or I definitely don't want them to score again, because that is an uphill battle. Do I want us to score? If we score, I might not be going on. So I was very mixed emotions.
Andy Cole.
Considering the season we had in Europe that season, because no team wanted to play Manchester United that season in the European Cup. I mean, no football club. The way we played and dominated some of the best teams in Europe, by the time we got to the final, we played the final and didn't play the way Manchester United can play. I mean, that was the most disappointing thing for us, because the game was always a tactical battle, because Bayern were very, very strong.
Midfielder Nicky Butt.
I just know we got a right doing, to be fair. They should have won 2 or 3. He hit the bar, he hit the post.
Scholes there with the header. Janka with the overhead, hits the crossbar. Twice the woodwork to save Manchester United.
Assistant manager Steve McLaren.
Chip Schmeichel hit the post, bounced back into Schmeichel's arms. And I went, ooh, that would have been us dead. And now we've got a real chance.
United were desperate. With 10 minutes to go, Sheringham and Solskjaer were both on the field. Ferguson's final roll of the dice.
We were getting battered, really. We hadn't played well all game. We had a few little half chances with about 10, 15 minutes to go, and we were pushing a little bit, but still not really in the game. But at 1-0, you still got a chance. And when the board went up to say that there was 2 minutes to go of injury time, you think it's all over, but not for this Manchester United team.
Defender Phil Neville.
I was actually sub, so I saw the ribbons on the trophy, in the Bayern Munich ribbons, and I saw Lothar Matthäus touching the cup, kissing the cup. So I was gutted. I was down and out. We'd made all the subs, so I'd virtually thrown the towel in.
Defender Wes Braun.
I remember when Teddy and Ollie come on, and you know, just that first corner that we get with, you know, hardly anything to go, knowing that Bex is going to put it on a plate somewhere, because you know he always did. He's still to this day the best crosser I've seen.
Cross deflected. Effenberg behind for a corner. Manchester United score. They always score. Peter Schmeichel is forward. In towards Schmeichel. It's come for Dwight Yorke. Cleared. Giggs with a shot. Sheringham!
As it rolled past me, I swung at it and helped it on with my ankle-ish and scuffed it into the net. And it was probably the best scuff, the most memorable scuff I've ever scuffed.
Name on the trophy. Seconds of added time play has equalised for Manchester United. They are still in the European Cup.
Steve McLaren.
Once we got that equaliser deep into injury time, I just said to Gaffer, look, you know, let's regroup now. What let's think about the extra time, and you know, we're going to put ourselves back in some kind of balance shape, because we were all out of balance, high risk, going for the equaliser, that maybe in extra time we had to rethink. And he just said, sit down, Stevie, sit down. This game ain't over yet.
Wes Braun.
Believe me when I say this, and I know people think it's a myth, but once the first one goes in, that is it. That we have won that. We have now won the game. And that is honestly the truth. And that's how I think everyone felt.
Ryan Giggs.
We got taught never to give up. And normally, by the last 10, 15 minutes, teams are tired. And that's when mistakes happen. And that's when usually we would capitalise on that and score late. It was something that we'd done time and time again.
ITV commentator Clive Tyldesley.
The change in momentum, the looks, the startled looks on the faces of the Bayern fans, They looked like they'd seen an alien invasion. German teams weren't used to losing games in this way. And it was really only a matter of time, whether it was going to happen in the next 2 minutes or the next 32 minutes. The tide had turned.
Ollie takes out the left wing again, tries to take him on. I'm in the box, tries to whip a cross in, goes out for a corner. So now I'm buzzing. I'm absolutely buzzing. I'm thinking to myself, I've just scored one, put it up there. I feel like I can jump 10 feet tall, put it in and around an area. Bex, you know exactly where I'm going to be going. You know, he had an uncanny knack of finding me, my run. So he's taken another corner from that side, and I thought to myself, if I get up in front of my defender there, I've got a chance of scoring another one here. Come on, you're buzzing, you're piper, the adrenaline's rushing through your veins. Put it in that area, go on.
Is this their moment? Beckham, into Sheringham!
And I instinctively knew that I was up a little bit too early because I wanted to get up and edit in the near post. But as it came to me, the ball was there, and I thought, I'm up a little bit early. If I head it for near post, it's going to go over the bar. So I just thought to myself, all I've got to do is help it on into the danger area, into the far stick. That's the only place I can go where the ball will still be alive.
Into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has won it!
Ollie stuck out his right foot, hoofed it into the roof of the net, and mad celebration started.
Manchester United have reached the promised land. Ollie Solskjaer, the two substitutes, have scored the two goals in stoppage time, and the treble looms large.
I think after I scored, I turned round, looked if I was offside, and then I celebrated like on my knees. That was probably the first time I did celebrate that way. It was a fantastic season. On the night, we just finalised it.
It was meant to be. It was written in the stars because they hit the post, they hit the bar, and we got two of the scruffiest goals in Champions League history. But that's what wins your competition.
I just noticed every German player just on the ground. Just on the ground, and even the referees trying to lift him up, saying, look, you've got to kick off.
Journalist Paddy Barclay.
I think it would have been a hard-hearted person indeed who didn't feel sorry for the Bayern players at the end of that game, and it must have been devastating for them, but nobody really minded. And from the English point of view, and I can remember Gary Neville, who we didn't know that he was going to make such a success of a career with words after he's finished playing, but he found the right word for that match when he was asked, what was it like? He said, supernatural. And that's what it was.
Three.
History is made. Manchester United are the champions of Europe again, and nobody will ever win a European Cup final more dramatically than this.
You get three. So let's leave the final word with the boss, the man who would now be known as Sir Alex Ferguson.
I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.